Welcome to Three Black Docs. Our second happy hour is here. It's Friday evening. Thanks for coming to hang with us. It's time for me to get my drink. Why don't you grab yours and let's get into it. All right, so I'm here again with the other two of the Three Black Docs, Dr. Z, otherwise Hello. Known as Dr. Zanetta Lamar. Say hi to the people and tell us Hello. What you're drinking.
So, you know, I usually have my my water on the rocks. My yes. ice machine is broken. So, So my rocks are gone. My rocks are gone.
Wow.
So I have my Costco cup.
She basic.
Water straight up. I'm gonna need you to get your ice maker fixed.
I know.
Summertime.
I'm gonna have to get it fixed.
Problem that out there. Okay, and last but not least, Dr. Karen Winkfield. What you drinking tonight, Karen?
Well, tonight I have a special ice cube. You see this? So I have my child actually made me these special ice balls, and I'm just using that with my salted caramel.
Ah, I've seen that
it's
before.
Lovely.
There's some sort of science behind
it. It's really
that.
Big, yeah.
Yes.
In a drink.
And then it doesn't melt?
Yes. But with whiskey. With whiskey, it actually melts differently and it tempers. I don't know all the science.
Fancy.
It, but yeah.
You got fancy ice.
Yeah, fancy tonight.
And some of us need some ice.
So we have fancy saying, ice yes. and no ice. And that's our situation.
It's so funny.
Right now.
Awesome.
I'm drinking a beer.
A what? Come on. You? Beer?
You've never, okay, I don't you think you've ever this. Seen me drink a beer. It's no. summertime. And in the summertime, I really like, there's a beer called Summer Shandy. And it has like lemon flavor and maybe some honey. Mm. And it's like really light and delicious in the summer.
Awesome.
So great. we got a summer theme. We have ice issues, fancy ice, and summer shandy beers. All right. What are we talking about tonight? Prostate cancer.
Yes.
Ta-da. So, and here's why.
Oh, she sounded excited about that.
I did, didn't I?
Like me talking about colonoscopies.
I know. It came out. I'm excited to talk about it. Our people need to know about it.
Share with us your excitement, Z.
Well,
why are you excited to talk about it?
Why am I excited? Excited may be the wrong emotion.
Strong.
But I said it may be the wrong emotion, but our community is being devastated by prostate cancer. And we need our people to know about it. And there's information that honestly, I think a lot of physicians are not aware of. And so I think this is a really important discussion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. So it is the most common cancer amongst Black men. Black men are actually more likely to contract prostate cancer, to develop prostate cancer, than white men. And last year, in 2019, there was an estimate of like 29,000 new cases in Black men. So
it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's the second leading cause of cancer death.
I mean, second leading cause of cancer death in Black men, lung cancer being the first, along with women. But and so again, you know, there's an issue of seeing that the numbers are different in Black men, and so we're going to get into why and what to do about that. But the other thing that I really want to put out there right off the bat is, even though the numbers are worse and that Black men are more likely to contract it, if it's caught at an early stage, 97% of men are alive at 5 years. 97%. This is all about knowing what the facts are, knowing what the risks are, right? And knowing what you need to do now that you know. When you know better, we can do better, right?
So we can do better.
So
and there was some intentionality around this theme too, right. though, right? Because part of it was, you know, we just came off of Men's Health Week, right?
Yeah.
We also, it was Father's Day. So hopefully this is not just something for men. We need for our women to be engaged as well and to understand the challenges that our men may face, the barriers, and really so that we as a community can work on this epidemic. We are dealing with the pandemic of COVID, and we see how that's devastating the Black community. Prostate cancer is devastating our Black men. And so we need to figure out how we can really address that. So,
and that's a good point, Karen, because I think a lot of it, you know, not to shade our men, but a lot of times it's the women who are on top of going to the doctor and making sure our screening stuff is right, you know, being good about mammograms and pap smears and all that stuff. Maybe add colonoscopy to the list if you listen to the last podcast. So I think that the women having this information too, and making sure that the men in their lives are aware and up to date mm-hmm. is very important. So
right. And I think as a healthcare community, we have done a very poor job of getting the word out, especially as it pertains to Black men and yeah. and what we should be doing and what we should be telling them. Because, I mean, there are different societies that are saying different things.
Yeah.
And if you are a family physician seeing 20 to 30 patients a day, it's hard to keep up with what to tell people. So
around screening particularly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's funny because, again, our last podcast that dropped was on colorectal cancer, right? And
right.
colonoscopy is screening. And I feel like the guidelines are pretty clear, right?
Very
clear. As you mentioned, there may be different organizations who say, you know, American Cancer Society says screening this time. It's not the case for prostate cancer. And so that's right. where a lot of the confusion lies. It's not even just the primary care doctors that are confused. It's the population, the public who's confused. And I think that's why this discussion is really important as well.
Right.
Yeah. And Zanette and I were talking about this. It's kind of like, it's kind of an interesting position to be in as an oncologist, right? Because our focus is like what happens after you get diagnosed.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's what we learn about and have to know about and get tested on and all, you know, all that stuff. And that's what our day-to-day life is like what happens after you get the diagnosis. You know, we need to be on top of it and making sure we know all the up-to-date information about the best treatment. But really, I mean, to me, the power is in that first number that, like, if this yeah. is diagnosed early and caught early, that's, you know, 97% of people are alive at 5 years. So really, to me, the battle is there, right? In knowing when to screen and being on top of it and, you know, catching it early if we need to catch it.
But part of it, I think, you know, it is really critical. Yes, Black men get it more, but to what extent, right? They're almost twice as likely as white men to twice actually have a prostate cancer, and then twice as likely to die of prostate mm-hmm. cancer. So what that means then is, number one, there may be something biologic. There may be some environmental things that are going on. But to what Zanetta was just saying about the importance of screening, and this is why we have got to have the conversation about what is the appropriate screening, when do we start? Black men are presenting with later stage disease, and you know it's much easier to cure any cancer early on, and so late stage disease makes it harder to treat, and you know particularly when you end up with metastatic disease, then you're dealing with a lot of issues. You know, my uncle died of prostate cancer. I don't know if any of you have had, if either of you
yeah.
have had,
oh, yeah.
had prostate
Absolutely.
Cancer, and.
Yeah.
You know, it's devastating when you have bone disease, when you have, you know, metastatic disease that goes to the bone, you know, that's really hard. So the earlier we catch it, you know, the more likely the chance that you can cure it.
Yeah, I don't think there would be anyone who's like listening or will listen to this that doesn't know somebody personally or know of someone that's had prostate cancer or has been affected by it.
I don't know. My uncle was the first person in my family who actually had prostate cancer. So I was surprised by that too, because of how common it is. But the challenge mm-hmm. is, I don't know if my family members are getting tested or screened
and
for
that's the thing.
Cancer.
It's something that you really don't talk about. So
yes,
you know, one of the first people that I knew who had prostate cancer was actually my husband's cousin. And he, when I met him, you know, they said, oh, he has prostate cancer and it's really, really bad. And I met him, he was tall, he was handsome. There was nothing that looked like this man was ill. And I was like, oh, he has prostate cancer. And, you know, a few months later, unfortunately, like he died. And, wow. And you could not tell. So I think this is something that men are not discussing. It's not something that necessarily you can see. The symptoms are not something on the outside. And really, I mean, this kind of goes into the risk. And I think, Tiffany, you were going to bring that up.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
But, you know, the risk is higher in people who have a first degree family member who is affected. So most importantly, if you have a brother who has prostate cancer, your risk is high. If you are Black, your risk is high. And really, it's important for us to talk as families and to say, hey, you know what medical problems do you have? We have got to do that as a community.
Well, we but not just your brother, your father, your brother, right. your son. Right. If there are multiple people on one side of the family.
Right. The risk is highest, though, if it's your brother. Like Tiffany said, anyone in your family who has this disease, it puts you at risk. And honestly, even if you don't have a brother, father, son, if you are Black, you have high risk prostate, high risk for developing prostate cancer. I mean.
We have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Like what you hear? Make sure you rate and subscribe. Three Black Docs is available wherever you get your podcasts.
So part of, I think, the reason why it doesn't get discussed is because folk don't know where the prostate is. And can I tell you, I was going to go to my office today and pick up a model. Because, you know, I do my community engagement work, right?
Yeah.
And so I actually have a model of, like, the male pelvis that I was going to bring. And I forgot because it would have been funny, too, right? I'd have been like, what?
I would have been surprised if you had
I know you would have. But our people, our viewers would have been like, oh.
Yeah, let's talk about where the prostate is.
Right.
And what,
because, you know, and it's called a prostate, not a prostrate. And prostrate means lying down flat. Prostate is an organ. So we can talk about what that is. But it actually lies at the, you know, for a man, only men have it, right? So it lies at the base of the penis, right? At the base of the bladder. So, you know, the bladder is the collection vehicle for the urine. And, you know, in men, their ureter is external to their body. So it's outside of their body versus women where it's internal, right? And the ureter for men travels to the penis. And so if you, so your urethra is what I'm actually starting at the ureter.
Right.
So urethral.
Urethra.
Bottom line, this organ sits right there at the base of the bladder. And the reason why that's important is because the physical exam for the prostate actually goes to the rectum, and you can literally feel the prostate because it's lying that low in the pelvis. So it is an organ. It actually helps to create the fluid that comes out with a sperm when a man is having sex and he ejaculates. It actually creates the fluid, which is an important part of getting those, the sperm to where they need to go for conception. So that's what the prostate does, and it's important. But I think it's important for us to make sure that we know the anatomy and know what it's called, so we can have discussions with our doctors about it.
And often, if you can have cancer and actually not have symptoms, and that's the thing that can be tricky. Mm-hmm. You may not have, you know, some people, once it's advanced, you may have symptoms like with blood, or, you know, difficulty with urination. But one of the problems we have is that sometimes, you know, early on, you may not have symptoms.
And that, again, a lot of it's because of location, right?
Versus exactly.
A cancer in your neck where you're going to see it, or a cancer in your mouth where you might feel it. This prostate, because it is so deep in the pelvis, is not something that may oftentimes have symptoms associated with it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And one of the things that I actually didn't know, in Black men, sometimes prostate cancer is not located in an area that's easy to fill with the digital rectal exam. So digital rectal exam, that's when a doctor uses a gloved finger and you can typically feel the prostate. But often in Black men, the location can be in a space that you may not be able to feel. So, I mean, this can be an issue when it comes specifically to Black men and screening and diagnosing potential cancer.
And it's not even about they can't feel it. it's not exactly an area that oftentimes can be biopsied easily, right?
Exactly.
So the anterior lobe of the prostate is what you're referring to. So when they typically go in, so say a man's going, remember, screening is, in addition to the digital rectal exam, which Dr. Lamar just lovely explained, glove finger, yes.
Glove.
Goes into the rectum to feel the, yes, goes into the rectum. You like the finger? Goes in and palpates the prostate. There's also a blood test, right? So that prostate specific antigen is a test that can be elevated for several reasons, but it usually is only is elevated for men who may have enlarged prostates or who have prostate cancer. And so if it's enlarged and you're like, okay, we're going to check for prostate cancer, but you, the typical biopsies that are done are around the other lobes, and that anterior, that medial lobe may not necessarily be able to be reached with the standard approach to biopsy. So that's important.
Right. Right.
We're talking about, you know, digital rectal exams and screening. So one thing to note as well, when we get into talking about screening, is that you can have a screening with just a blood test.
Right.
With just a PSA. Okay. And so a lot of times men shy away, I think, from bringing this up at the doctor because they want to avoid the rectal exam. But you can at least get your PSA done, you know, as a starting place to screening. So that's something very important as well. Like, don't write this off because you are trying to avoid getting a rectal exam.
And I need to ask a question about the rectal exam because, you know, it's been a while since I've been in medical school.
Okay.
I felt like there were some challenges with people even learning how to do the digital rectal exam properly. Tell me what your experience has been for you guys.
So, you know, it can, and some, it often it's how you're taught.
Yes.
And honestly, sometimes the size of your finger can make a difference. You know, with the rectal exam, and I don't think many people who are training today have learned to properly do the digital rectal exam. So when you felt an abnormal, when you have felt an abnormal prostate, you will remember it forever.
Mm-hmm. Yes, forever. And I learned techniques. I had an old school doc when I was at Duke who actually taught me techniques. I have very short fingers. My fingers are very short, but I tell you, I can feel it, a prostate, and I can feel that superior edge of the prostate because I learned some techniques about how to get in there and get it done. So I think, to Tiffany's point, I think what's really important to remember is that there are multiple things that can be part of the screening for prostate cancer. And even if somebody says, oh, I felt your prostate feels fine, if you're concerned about it, whatever, talking about, you know, making sure that you're getting that prostate specific antigen, that test, that PSA test, is a really important component of kind of really monitoring and looking at it's really more prognostic, meaning what might be the risk of you developing prostate cancer. Because frankly, if you're, there are some cutoffs for that PSA test, right? If you're a 40-year-old black man, if you're a 45-year-old black man, there are some cutoffs for that test that may actually be prognostic. And that was some of the work that we were doing when I was in Boston with some of the groups there, looking at not only just as a screening tool, because again, there are other things that can elevate that PSA, but what are the are the things that may actually be able to say that this person's risk of developing prostate cancer is higher than the average person?
Mm-hmm. Right. And so now let's actually talk about age. Because in our there are national guidelines. If you look up online, there are different ages that that we tell people to screen for prostate cancer. I know my age, and I know the rationale for why. So,
well,
Tiffany, do you want to get
into
that?
The first thing is to know that there are different organizations that put out guidelines for cancer screening, right? So prostate is no different. So if you just go on Google and say, like, when should I start PSA screening? You might get a guideline from any one of a number of different societies, and they all have different ages. So one of the the largest ones that you will come across when you get into prevention and screening guidelines is the U.S. Preventative Service Task Force. The ACS, which is the American Cancer Society, is the other. So those are like two big societies that you're always going to find screening guidelines coming from. So number one, if you look at the United States Preventive Service Task Force, their guideline is 55.
40.
Their guideline is 55.
Help us, people.
But
help us.
Don't take into account Black men's higher risk.
If you are Black, you are high risk. You should get your first PSA at 40. When women are getting their mammograms, you need to be getting a PSA. Because you're high, it's high risk. It's 40. And the reason why you need to start early, you need a baseline. Because the problem is Black men, sometimes their PSAs are lower. And you need to know what your baseline is and check every year and see if there are trends going up. Because, I mean, we already Yes. talked about the PSA levels may be different. So it's really important to have a history of PSA levels.
I agree with that 100%. And the only reason why I wanted to backtrack a little, because Tiffany went through a whole litany of talking about the different guidelines that there are. And in fact, the guidelines change all the time. All of them are using this 55 as the cutoff, except the American Cancer Society, which is at 45, including for Black men, unless you're a Black man who has family history, and then it's 40.
Then it's 40.
So, but I tell people all the time, them guidelines are not made for Black people. I say
they
that
are
all
absolutely
the time.
Not.
And they include fewer than 5% Black men. So we weren't even part of the calculus. And so it's really important, again, to Zanetta's point, I do recommend that for Black men, they at least have a conversation with their doctor starting yes. at age 40. And mm-hmm. they can insist, like a blood test. Look, you don't want to feel my rectum. I mean, you feel my prostate.
Blood test.
Good.
Blood test.
Give me a blood test.
Get yes. the blood test. Because let me tell you something.
Yes.
Once again, the stuff that we go through, if I didn't have to have a mammogram, a pelvic exam for pap smears and all that stuff, and you said you could just draw my blood and my cancer screener would be done, sign yep. me up. I mean, come on.
Right. Yep. Right.
You don't have colonoscopy yes. prep. You know, you don't have anything getting smashed in a machine. You don't know about that yet, Zanetta, but you will. You know what I mean?
She no, she's not 40
oh,
yet.
Lord, I'm dealing Karen, with Karen, you know that. Next year.
Baby.
You, yep, y'all are cougars. No, I'm just
But that's the point.
It's oh, sir.
Call me a cougar. It's super easy compared wow. to other screening tests to get
yes.
the blood test, right?
No, it like really that. Is. It, so, it really is. And it's
yeah.
so it's so important. All right,
yeah.
Tiffany.
Yeah. So that's what I was getting to, was just that, you know, the guidelines, most one of them doesn't take into account the higher risk of Black men, right? So if you just go to Dr. Google and find the wrong thing, you out here in yep. these streets thinking you good till you 55, which is just not right if you're a Black man, period.
That's right.
It's just not right.
That's right.
ACS is 40 if you have a first degree relative. And the AUA actually just says from 40 to 54 to have your first conversation if you're a Black man, and for everyone else, they start at 55 for average risk.
So for Black men.
For average risk men.
Three Black Docs is not intended as medical advice. All opinions are our own. Three Black Docs is produced by Wings Productions.
Like what you hear? Make sure you rate and subscribe. Three Black Docs is available wherever you get your podcasts.